The name of our talk today is The Power of Christmas. So we're going to do that for the next few weeks and just find out exactly how powerful it is. Most of you will have heard of a man called Jack Hayford. This is a quote from him. Christmas is not merely merry, Christmas is mighty. It's mighty. And I want us to grasp the true meaning of Christmas and just how mighty it is. It's not just about toys and a fat man in a red suit. And my apologies to any fat men in red suits today. And a quick panic there. Nobody's in red. We're okay. All right? It's about God's plan to rescue the world. It's about a saviour. And it's about God himself coming down to earth to demonstrate his love for us. Coming down to explode in power and might in our lives. It's about God showing himself as the almighty God in the form of his Son. So let's look at a scripture. The book of John in the New Testament, chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. He was continually existing in the beginning with God. All things were made and came into existence through him, and without him, not one thing was made that has come into being. And so this scripture is spoken just before they start to tell you about the birth of Jesus, just before that first Christmas. And this says, all there was in the beginning was something called the Word, and that it was with God. But then it reveals to us the meaning of that, this word, the Word. It also says that the Word was Jesus Christ. That's what he was called when he was in heaven. The Word was God himself, because Jesus is God in human form. So the Word was Jesus, God himself, in the form of something called his Word. Throughout that scripture, the Word is referred to as he or him, not it. It's not a book. It's not referred to as it. It's he or him, because it is the person of Jesus Christ. It's also always capitalized. It's a capital W. So why do we capitalize something? Because it's the name of a person. So it's the person of Jesus Christ. So it's capitalized. It's referred to as he or him. And verse 2 said, he continually existed with God right from the beginning. So this is Jesus before he was born on earth. So it's Jesus in his pre-existent state as we know him. He existed in heaven, but we didn't know him down here. He didn't exist on earth. So Jesus in his pre-existent state up in heaven was in the form of God's Word, capital W. He hadn't been born as a man yet, but he did exist in heaven, and in heaven he was called the Word. Like a little history lesson for you here today. He still existed with the Father, but in a different form, a spiritual form. He didn't have a physical body yet, and he was called the Word. Verse 3 there says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. So God used the Word to speak out and make everything that he wanted to create with his power. It came out of God's Word. And that is powerful right there. The Word of God went out and created. The Word of God was power-packed, and it's still full of power today when we speak the Word of God. It says nothing was made unless God spoke it first. Nothing. He spoke it and then it was made. So let me just confirm that by going right back to the Old Testament in the very first verse in the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So here's another description of the beginning. You get it in Genesis 1:1, you get it in John 1:1. And they both say, in the beginning. So if you want to know how the world was created, in the beginning, this is it. So it's another description. So we know from the first one in John 1, that God was present and the Word, Jesus Christ, was also there. But this tells us there's a third presence, and it was the third part of the Godhead, his Spirit. the Holy Spirit was present too. And verse 2 says, the Spirit of God was hovering. It was just hovering there. So we've got the Father, we've got the Son, and we've got the Holy Spirit all present. Now, the Spirit of God is the nature of God. It's his character, but it's also his power. When God does something today, he sends it by his Holy Spirit like a rush of power. You know, in Acts 2:2, when God released his Holy Spirit on people, it said it came like a mighty rushing wind. The Holy Spirit's not just a wee breeze, a wee Scottish breeze to come through your life. You know, when I lived in Australia, I would have given my eye teeth for a wee Scottish breeze. I remember saying so many times, oh, I wish I had a wee Scottish breeze right now. You know that chilly wind that makes you want to zip your jacket up? In Australia, there's only so much you can take off. It's that hot. But he doesn't come like a wee breeze. He comes like a mighty rushing wind because we serve a mighty God, a powerful God. Power exploded at Christmas when Jesus came down onto this earth. And God releases his power by his Spirit. So at the beginning of everything, God's power was present. It was present because the Father was there, the Son was there, and the Holy Spirit was hovering. And Almighty God, three in one. What a powerful combination. The Bible says the Spirit was hovering. What was he hovering for? He was waiting on God to tell him what to do. He just does whatever God tells him what to do. So does Jesus. He was just waiting on God's command, waiting for God to release his power. How? By his word. And God said, let there be light, and light appeared after the word spoke it, after the word came out of God's mouth. So when God creates, he uses the word. So I want us to note this. When we create things in our lives, we use words too. So here's a question. What words are we using, and what are they creating? Are they creating an argument? Are they creating strife? Is it good or bad? Everyone knows Proverbs 18:21 by now because I've used it enough. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Here's another powerful thing, and we keep it in our mouth. You know, it's a bit yuck at times. We keep that in our mouth. It has so much power, but it's for death or life. So what are we speaking? And when other people come along, what are we letting them speak over us? Sometimes we need to shake it off. Whatever it is, it's like that thing in the farmer's field that just goes bang. We've got one near us. I can hear it through the glass. It just goes bang, bang, bang. And I was walking the other day. I just jumped out of my shirt when it went off. And that's what the enemy does. He comes and he throws things at us like a gunshot. But it's really just the power of wind. And it can make us jump, and we need to throw it off. We need to go, whatever that negative comment was, I'm not going to allow that death to be spoken over my life. But we also need to watch what we say about ourselves. We must be very careful about what our tongue creates. So here's a revelation. Who's wanting a revelation today? Here's the revelation that you can put on your phones or write on your wee bit of paper. Your tongue is affecting your life because it's continually creating. Continually. We'll never have a powerful life if we are continually speaking negative words. If we want to see God move mightily, we must start to use words of might. Get the Bible out and speak his word over our life. We need to stop grumbling and complaining and start praising and confessing the word. Because that's what God did when he wanted to create something good. He created the world and he stood back and he went, it is good. Not it's mediocre. It is good. And if we want a good life, we need to speak good things about it. We're all confessing something, but most of it isn't very powerful. Every single one of us is confessing something from the minute our feet touch the ground, but most of it is not very powerful. So here's something to think about right now or this week. Go away and think about this. What's the last thing you said about yourself, about your life, and about your future? Was it powerful and mighty? And do we really want God to do it? I know there's been times when I've said things and prayed things and I felt God saying, really, Sandra, you really want me to do that? No, God, I'm sorry, I take that back. We need to watch what we're saying. Let's look again at just the first four words in the Old Testament of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. That's it. Not going to read anything else. In the beginning, God. Now, that's a Hebrew word that if you go back to the Hebrew word for God in that sentence is Jehovah Elohim. And it means the God of power and might. That's who was there in the beginning. In the beginning, the God of power and might. In the beginning, the Almighty God, full of power, full of might, Spirit hovering, Son by his side, Word ready to create. And guess what? He's still here today. He's still with us right now. By the power of his Spirit, he is here. He's in this room. He's in us if we've asked him in. I just think that's an amazing little word. The God of power and might. That's who came to earth at Christmas. The God of power and might, Jehovah Elohim. Not the God of nearly enough, but the God of more than enough. Not the God of I might manage it, but the God of all might and power who absolutely can manage it. Not the God of if you're good enough, I'll do this. But the God of my son was good enough, so you don't have to be, so yes, I'll do it. His sacrifice covers all of our sins, and we need to believe mightily in that. Stop believing the lies that go around in our head about how people don't like us and how useless we are or whatever the lie is. Stop believing that God's forgotten us, because that is hopeless. That is hopeless thinking, and it is powerless. If we believe the negatives, we are moving in the powerless, and we're moving in the hopeless. And we need to believe what God says about us if we want to move into a mighty, powerful God, Jehovah Elohim. We need to move towards him and not move towards the enemy and the hopelessness of that situation. Don't be hopeless this Christmas. You know, sometimes we can think of Christmas, and especially if people put it on Facebook, you know, we think everyone's having a better time than me. They're having a party with 10 people, and we've only got 2 people and the dog, you know? That's all we've got this Christmas. And sometimes you're better with just 2 people and the dog, believe me. You know, I've done the big one where nobody's talking to each other. Don't be hopeless this Christmas. Be full of hope, and then we will be full of power and might. If we want our lives to be mighty, we need to speak mightily. Stop speaking doom and gloom and start speaking the word. Now, while I was preparing this, God gave me this picture, so I'll just share it with you. I saw someone hanging up a Christmas stocking on the fireplace, and they had been writing on little bits of paper, writing things down, folding up the paper, stuffing it in the stocking, writing something else, folding it up, stuffing it in the stocking. And this Christmas stocking was just full to the brim of these little pieces of paper. But then God showed me what was on the paper. And what was on the paper was, oh, please, God, do this. And please, God, do that. And please, God, if you don't do this, I'm going to fall apart. And God, if you don't do that, I'll never survive. And there was all of these negative things. And really, they are begging prayers. They are not mighty prayers. You know, they're not believing in a mighty God, but they're begging him. And every single one of these statements that the person was stuffing into their Christmas had no hope. They had no hope in them because they were just repeating the negatives. It was wishful thinking. Turning wishes into reality requires hope. It requires us to say, I believe God is going to do this. It releases the word, it releases the spirit, and it releases Jehovah Elohim, the God of power and might, into our life. Can encourage every single one of you to do this. I'm going to ask you to do this one thing this Christmas. Who'd like one thing to do this Christmas other than stuff the turkey, you know? Do this one thing. Put hope on your Christmas list. Put hope. Say, God, I am praying for hope to rise, regardless of the circumstances. Even if it's just me and the budgie, I'm praying that hope will rise. You know, at least the budgie might answer you back. I won't go for a goldfish, you don't get much out of them. But the budgie might answer you back, you know. Let hope rise and watch God's power explode in your life. Turn to someone today and say, put hope on your Christmas list. Okay, we need to put hope on our Christmas list. Every time we entertain the thought, God won't do that for me, we've laid down hope. And we need to pick it up and don't hand it over to anybody. Hold on to hope until hope begins to rise on the inside. Especially don't hand it over to the enemy. Here's a fact that we've all heard and we all recognize. Here's a fact. There are more suicides in the Christmas and New Year period than any other time of the year. Why is that? Here's why. Because people aren't merry, things haven't worked out as planned, and they've got no hope. If you've got hope, you don't go and end your life. They have no hope. They're not merry and they're not mighty. Jeremiah 32 says this. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Now, some people need to go, and you need to take that as a prophetic word for your life today. Some people need to take that as a word from God, and you need to write that on a post-it, and you need to put it on the biscuit barrel, and beside the kettle, and anywhere else that you go, beside your mirror, whatever it is, and you need to start confessing and let hope rise on the inside that nothing is too hard for Jehovah Elohim. Absolutely nothing. This is the God we serve, and nothing is too hard for him this Christmas or any other time of the year. He's God of all flesh. Are you made of flesh today? Give yourself a pinch and find out. You're not allowed to pinch anybody else. Cut that out in the front row, but yeah, cut that out in the back row as well. You're not allowed to pinch anybody else, but you can pinch yourself today. So if you're made of flesh, then he is your God, and he's God of that flesh. He's God of our hopes, and he's God of our dreams, and he's God of our desires. So if we get nothing else for Christmas this year, we need to get hope. That's bottom liner. We need hope or we'll have nothing else. Because hope is power. It's power over the circumstances. It's power over our emotions. It's power over the negative thoughts. It's power over the words coming out of our mouth. Let's look again at the first 6 words in the New Testament. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. So the first one said, in the beginning was God. This one says, in the beginning was the Word. The mighty, powerful Word of God. And we still have God's Word today. And it's still full of power and might and hope. Romans 8:11, it says, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you today. So what are we doing with it? What are we doing with the Spirit of God that lives in us today? Are we believing it? Are we speaking it? Because here's a news flash. God is here this Christmas. He hasn't forgotten us. He has not forgotten you. But we must keep believing and we must keep speaking the word and keep hoping and never give up. Listen to this. Here's another revelation. Not believing in Santa might mean you get no presents, but not believing in God means you've got no hope. You've got no hope. I switched the TV on yesterday and there was a concert on of a group in my era that I used to really like. And the man now was probably in his 70s, and I was just listening to him talk, and I was listening to one of the words of his songs. And this man must be a multi-millionaire. But by the way he was talking, he was alone and sad and he had no hope. If you've not got God, you've got no hope. And that's got far wider reaching consequences. I remember one New Year, many years ago, before I was married, I remember it was the New Year service, and the New Year service is all about hope and good things for the new year. And I can remember walking down the pavement afterwards in Edinburgh thinking, well, God, I just don't know. I just don't know. If my life is the same, I was putting one of those negative wishes in the Christmas stocking, you know. If my life is the same this time next year, I don't think I'll be able to handle it. I don't know what I'm going to do if things haven't changed. And what happened was I just kept walking in God, kept trusting God, just kept believing God, kept speaking the word through it thick and thin. And the next year, at the New Year time, guess what? My life was the same. The circumstances had not changed, but I had, because hope had risen. I spoke out the word of God, hope rose on the inside of me, and I continued to trust God through that New Year period and into the next year. And I think it was round about the February, so about 14 months later, that things began to turn around. Sometimes we've got to believe for a long time before we see things changed. God has said, nothing is too hard for him. Do we believe it? Because we can put our hope in that God. We can put our hope in that statement in his word that nothing is too hard for him. And if we can't put our hope in anything else, at least put it in that. John 1, verse 14. And the word Christ became flesh and lived among us. And we actually saw his glory. Glory as belonging to the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth, absolutely free of deception. I've just written down, wow. Wow. The world has seen God in the flesh, in the form of Jesus. They saw him with their own eyes. What did they do with him? What did they do with him? They rejected him. That's what the world did with Jesus. They threw it out. John 1 verse 10, he, Christ, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him, but to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the right to become children of God. He walked down their main street in Jerusalem and they rejected him. Do you know what? If Jesus put on jeans and a jacket and walked down the main street in Dunfermline, guess what? People would still reject him. Even if he did miracles and people fell at their feet, some people would believe and some people would still reject him, because that is the nature of man. They rejected his power and they rejected his hope. So here's another revelation. When we reject hope, we reject God. And vice versa. When we reject God, we reject hope. So stop saying something is hopeless. We can't speak negatives and expect to see positives. We need to start speaking words of hope and let hope rise, because hope is powerful. I was at a seminar yesterday with the other Elam pastors and leaders, and someone brought this prophetic word, really short and sweet. Know the season that you're in and rest in it. And I wrote it down because it spoke to me. Know the season that you're in. I needed to know back then, that new year, that I was in a season of waiting for something to happen. That it wasn't going to happen within a fortnight, but I had to trust God. So if you're in a waiting season, wait well, or frustration will overwhelm you. If you're in a planting season, plant faithfully, or you'll grow weary. If you're in a healing season, hand God the pain, hand him the pain, and trust him to heal you. If you're feeling hopeless and you're in a hopeless season, speak hope. Only then will you see hope rise. Do the opposite of what the enemy's tried to do to you. We must believe that God has got something good for us this Christmas, and grab hold of it with both hands and let hope rise. We must have hope for our own lives, because no one else can do it for us. Believe the word, speak the word, put our hope in the word. Jehovah Elohim is here this year in his power and might, and we can have hope in him this Christmas. We ask the worship team to come up.